while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." And from verse 35, the request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And from verse 46, blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen.
No, thank you. Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd are passing through Jericho. They're on their way up to Jerusalem, on their way, as Jesus knew, to the cross. Jericho is only about 15 miles from Jerusalem. As they were leaving Jericho, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. I remember once reading about a blind man who lived on the streets of New York. On a beautiful day, people were enjoying a spring morning, something like yesterday or this morning. Their emotions were stirred when they came upon this blind beggar who carried a sign reading, "It is spring and I am blind." Well, there in the streets of Jericho, day after day, sat blind Bartimaeus, begging for a living. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd rebuke him and tell him to be quiet. Whisht, they try to hush him up. Then, as now, it is thought unseemly to hear the cries of a beggar when a dignitary has come to town. But Bartimaeus won't be stopped. He shouted all the more. He calls out again and again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And notice, by the way, that Jesus accepts this title, Son of David. David was the greatest king in the history of Israel, and Son of David was a Jewish title for the long-awaited Messiah, for the long-promised deliverer and liberator and savior of Israel. Later on in Mark's Gospel, when Jesus is teaching in the courts of the temple in Jerusalem, he asks, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David?" So here in Jericho, at the beginning of the long ascent up to Jerusalem, Jesus is identified as Son of David, the coming Messiah. And notice too, before we move on, this heartfelt prayer of Bartimaeus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Still today, that's really the first step on the path to salvation. When anyone says from the heart, "Jesus, have mercy on me," to acknowledge honestly that we are not self-sufficient, that we have no claim on Jesus other than that we are in deep and desperate need for his mercy. Lord, have mercy. This is a fundamental need of weak, sinful human beings before the face of God. In our guilt, in our neediness, in our physical and spiritual weakness, we seek the mercy and grace of the living God. What a contrast, as we have just heard earlier in our Bible reading, from the disciples James and John and their ambition for places to be seated at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus when he comes in glory, and all their one-upmanship and their desire for status and place and position and prestige. As Bartimaeus continues to shout all the louder, Jesus stops in his tracks and he says, "Call him." Now it's perhaps hard for us to sense the shock of this. Bartimaeus was a roadside beggar. He counted for very, very little in the society of his day. And Jesus himself was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the sacrifice of the cross and to the great work of salvation to be unfolded there. And yet he stopped. As so often in his ministry, Jesus turns his attention from the many to the one. The priority he gave to any person at the point of need. Jesus stops and he gives the whole of his attention, his mind and heart, to this one man, blind Bartimaeus. And his stopping said, "You matter. You count. You are of importance and significance in the kingdom of God." It's a breakthrough in our own spiritual life when we come to realize that indeed we are, despite everything, we are each one known and loved by God, individually and personally. And we see too that the kingdom of God, which Jesus came to proclaim and to demonstrate and to inaugurate, it's a different kind of kingdom to the kingdoms of this world. It's a kingdom whose hallmark is about serving others. we heard earlier, Jesus, after the incident with James and John, Jesus teaches all his disciples, saying, "You know that those who have received, who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you," says Jesus. "Instead," continues Jesus, "whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." A different kind of king, and a different kind of kingdom. To be a follower of this Jesus is to be called to serve. Can each one of us say today, each day, in my small life, with the blessings I have received, Jesus calls me to serve? So the crowd called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And look at Bartimaeus' reaction. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Can we picture this scene in our mind's eye as if in a film? Bartimaeus suddenly, excitedly, throwing off his coat and leaping to his feet at once. The words used here by Mark in his gospel, the Greek words, they spring and they jump. They are energetically active. Bartimaeus did not fold his garment carefully and slowly and neatly and say to a bystander, "Please look after this for a minute, I'll be back soon." And remember, his coat, his cloak, was the one thing of value that he owned. And as he threw it aside and jumped to his feet, we see here Bartimaeus' exuberant, reckless, headlong response to the words of Jesus, the words of the crowd. "He is calling you." And then, perhaps for us, something of a surprise, for Jesus asks him a question. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Like the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates, Jesus was often asking people questions. "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, the man's a roadside beggar, so he might simply be after some money or some food. Jesus' question here means, "What do you really, deep down, want?" And Bartimaeus replies, "Rabbi, teacher, I want to see." Bartimaeus does not scale down his request. He goes for it. He trusts Jesus so much that he asks for his sight. "Rabbi, teacher, I want to see." Bartimaeus knew precisely what he wanted. When we go to a dentist, we do not ask them to fill or to extract just any tooth, but rather the one specific tooth that is troubling us. It should be so with us and Jesus, and that involves at times self-examination. If Jesus were standing beside us now, physically, personally, and we see our lives in the light of his radiant presence, and we hear his word saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" What is the one thing that we would ask him to deal with, to sort out, to help us with in our lives and our character and our present way of living, our present lifestyle? Maybe something for us to think about over the next few days. Jesus' words, "What do you want me to do for you?" a little more to say on this passage of Scripture, but we'll pause here and together we'll sing the praise song, Faithful One. And our final verse in today's Scripture passage, Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "Go, your faith has healed you." Well, what faith has Bartimaeus affirmed? Well, he has faith that Jesus has the power of God to heal. He believes that Jesus has compassion on people who are poor and powerless, which includes himself. He is confident that Jesus is the Son of David, the Messiah. Now, it's not that his faith has earned his healing. Faith is not like a coin that we put in a slot machine and out pops the answer, whatever we have requested. Rather, as one New Testament scholar puts it, the man has not earned his cure, but in Mark's gospel, it is a response of faith commitment which provides the arena within which the drama of salvation takes place. The Greek word used for healing here is also the same word used for saved. So, for instance, the Message translation here is, "On your way," said Jesus, "your faith has saved and healed you." We give thanks to God today for the work of doctors, eye surgeons, scientists, researchers, laser treatment, and so on, and the work of aid agencies, helping children in Africa not to become blind through preventable infectious diseases. God is at work today, healing in all these different ways, through all these different various channels. And as with any Bible passage, we are to ask not just what happened, but what does this mean? What does this signify? What is God saying to us today personally through it? Jesus speaks elsewhere about spiritual blindness. For instance, in John's Gospel, he says, "I came to this world so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind." All of us, whether blind or sighted, we need spiritual sight, spiritual eyes, spiritual insight in order to see Jesus as our Savior, to see Jesus as our friend, to see Jesus as the one true King, to see Jesus as our leader and our Lord. One prayer that we can make for people we know who are not yet Christian believers is, "Lord Jesus, open their eyes that they may see clearly who you really are." And so to the final sentence, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The narrative started with Bartimaeus sitting by the road. It ends with Bartimaeus following Jesus on the road. And what must have been feeling, do you think? Wonder, joy, surprise, gratitude, commitment, loyalty, probably a mixture of all of these things. I do wonder what happened to Bartimaeus afterwards. We're not told. Bible does not tell us. But in one way, that's not really important. What matters so much is not then and there, but here and now. Jesus calls us, each one, to follow him here and now, day by day, on the road of life and the journey of faith. And he is with us every step along the way, so we do not face this journey on our own. Jesus says in John's Gospel, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen, and to God be the glory. Let us pray. And a moment of silent prayer and reflection. God our Father, we pray that your presence may bless us, inspire us, enlighten us, guard us, and strengthen us all through this day and the days of this coming week, that our lives may be of service to others and bring glory to your name. Amen.